Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, the epitome of greatness, face it, no one placing close. Sweetness on the beast, that Walter Payton flow. On track to be the best, what you pacing for? Call play, step back, pump, fake, and throw. Who that? Drew breathing on the field. The document is monumental, shit real to real. No huddle game plan in my phone, outstanding most. Haters, commentators, call them Pat Buchanan's. Don't steal slamming on the Cadillac. Swinging lane to lane, whipping grain like a battle axe. Like it's here for me. Why these cheerleaders cheer for me?
Welcome to Thin Out of Water. It's your boy Rodman, hailing live from Massachusetts. I once called myself the Lonely Dolphin, but I guess all dolphins is feeling lonely. I also like to welcome one of my colleagues onto the show. Go ahead and introduce yourself, brother.
Hey, how's the world doing? Excursion of Ellis here to talk about football.
Yes, indeed. And today on the show, me and Gerson and whoever else like to join, and if you're listening live for the first time or for somebody who listens, you know, all the time or occasionally, the number to join us is 347-989-0591. If you want to join in on the conversation today, the number to call is 347-989-0591. And today, you know, today we're not going to really focus too much on just talking about, you know, matchups and stuff like that. We are going to reflect on the season and mostly reflect on the matchups last week. And I was planning on waiting until a few other guys came on. But, you know, with just me and Gerson, I guess we can get started on a couple things. So, Gerson, since, you know, we don't have much time, I'm going to cut to the chase. There's a lot that's been going on this NFL season, but in your opinion, what's been the most surprising thing that's happened in the NFL, either last week or this season? It doesn't have to be something that happened last week, but if you want to go there, you can. But just give the world your thoughts, man. NFL's been surprising this year, so what you think?
I think the two top surprises is that the Seahawks starting 2-4. And secondly, Peyton Manning playing so terribly. like Peyton Manning was hurt last year. What people don't understand, he was hurt last year. So he had that dip. But now he's supposed to be 100%, and he's still playing. And he's playing terribly. So it's just like they're winning in spite of him, though.
And you know what? Like it's funny that you bring that point. It's funny that you say that because despite the fact that Peyton Manning is obviously a shell of his former self, the thing that's most surprising is that they're undefeated. Like the Denver Broncos, I don't know where their defense is going to rank by the time the season's over on any kind of all-time list. I mean, they haven't done enough to be on an all-time list, but they – with the way that they've been playing, with the way that they've had to play, like the Denver Broncos defense is probably their leading scorer, bro. Like I wouldn't doubt it. Like they literally score at least one touchdown every game to make up for what their offense can't do. So that's actually a very interesting surprise. What would you say is the biggest disappointment, either last week or the season in general?
In the season, man, it got to be your Dolphins, bro.
So
they got to be a mixture of your Dolphins and also the Lions.
Ravens?
The Lions.
No, what about the Ravens?
The Ravens? Well, the Ravens, they just never was special to begin with. What do you want? They made it to the playoffs being what was their record? They were like either 10-6 or 9-7 last year. So they wasn't special. They weren't special. The Lions came off a great year of defense. Stafford looked bad, but you know they you know losing to Donovan Sue I did not imagine that them looking completely different, and they. And they got Halunu, what's his name? The guy that came from the Ravens to replace him. Yeah. I thought, you know what? Yeah, man, you know what? They'll be right back, and they're just like, they're really, what, did they win the last game? I don't know if they won their last game. Did they?
They did. They got their first win of the season, actually.
Okay, like, they just got, like, come on, man. These guys were in a great position last year, and in 1 year, they just out the loop. They completely out the loop. And people believe, and before they got the win, people actually thought they were going to go 0-16 again, bro. So, to me, it's Detroit and your Dolphins, man.
Well, here's what I'm going to say about that, because the Dolphins have been one of my biggest disappointments. But I do want to say this, because I want to bring this point out for both of these teams, is that in the Lions' case, and I'm not trying to make a complete defense for them, but their defense has not been that bad. It's their offense that's been worse than their defense. And the reason for that being is the fact that Detroit's offensive line has been one of the worst in the NFL. The only offensive line that's probably worse than Detroit's is Seattle's. And Russell Wilson's been getting killed behind his offensive line, which is a big part of why they are 2-4. But I'll tell you this much, Matthew Stafford didn't really impress a lot of people with when they had a decent offensive line. But I don't know entirely who they lost, or maybe if some of these guys just had a really good season last year, what the case may be. But for Detroit, on their offensive line, I'm sure they've had to have, you know, an injury or two, because that offensive line is horrible. And the only reason why, in my opinion, they had a good game last week, because they had Matthew Stafford looked good last week. He threw 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. He had 400 yards. He had 401 yards. I mean, he had a really good game against the Bears, but the Bears don't have, you know, a pass rush that's going to go after you. You know, they don't have defensive linemen that's going to attack that bad O-line. So you saw what Matthew Stafford could do when he had time. You know what I mean? So I'll say that in the Lions' case, you know, with the guys they have on offense, I have Megatron on my fantasy team, and I pretty much traded him away because of how bad the Lions have been. He's been my worst receiver in fantasy. Unbelievable. Megatron has been my worst receiver, to the point where I didn't want him anymore. He had a good game last week, I ain't gonna lie. But I mean, that's how bad the Lions have been, and you know, a big part of that, their offensive line is making Stafford look worse than he already does to himself sometimes. So I can definitely understand that sentiment. And then for the Dolphins case, as bad as the Dolphins have been, I honestly think, and listen, I don't have any expectations for the Dolphins, but I want you to put something in perspective here. The Dolphins are 2-3. We play the Texans this week coming up, which I hope I can get another show before, hopefully on Sunday. Last week I had planned, it didn't happen, but hopefully this Sunday I'll be able to do so. We could talk about some of the games. The Dolphins beat the Texans. We're only 3-3. What up?
Do you know there's a chance y'all might lose to the Texans?
I mean, there's a chance we might lose to the Texans, but at the same time, I mean, did you watch the last game? I got a chance to watch the last game, and honestly, under the new head coach, I don't know what's going to transpire. I don't know how the Dolphins are going to do. I honestly think that the Dolphins are probably going to win that game. I think they're going to beat the Texans. I think they can. I think they will. They played way better for Dan Campbell than they probably ever did for Philbin. They look really good.
This is my point, though. It could be that you win 7-0 or 14-7 or something like that. Because the way I see it is, it's got to be a defensive game, no offense. Right?
Well, we'll see about that. The Texans defense isn't that good. Their defense hasn't really shut anybody down this year. They have J.J. Watt on their defense, and that's it. Who else is on their defense that you're scared of? You know, Kareem Jackson is out. He's their best corner. They lost one of their linebackers for the game. Jadeveon Clowney, the dude they drafted last year, he hasn't been as much as a force as people would have made him out to be, but he's been good in the running department. Stopping the run, and Vince Wilfork has been pretty good too. But the Texans defense isn't that good. The way Miami played last week, and I've been watching them closely, It looked like a different team. I think Miami's going to look like they were supposed to from this point on. The problem with them is that they look so bad early on and they play so bad early on that there's probably not much of a good chance they'll make the playoffs. But I want you to understand how mediocre the NFL is right now, bro. There are 22 teams in the NFL that either are 500 or worse. 22 out of 32 teams in the league are either 3-3 or they're worse. That's crazy. The entire AFC is trash, Gerson. The entire AFC.
Wait,
dude.
Here's the thing, though. Here's what you don't get. You're right. I don't see three teams coming out of the AFC East. Because you forget the Jets having to win a record, bro.
I'm not forgetting about the Jets, but you know, listen, the NFL season isn't that cut and dry. As crazy as things have been so far, it's only been 6 weeks into the season, bro. There's still 10, you know, even 11 more weeks of football. So, I mean,
no,
the Jets have a winning record right now, but their offense revolves around Chris Ivory, who's been balling. I don't know how anybody's going to stop the Jets running game. And the Jets are definitely the second best team right now for New England. The Bills are actually a big bust to me. I was expecting more from the Bills, to be honest with you, but they've been pretty mediocre.
Injuries on offense, bro. I mean, the funny thing is their offense is better than their defense.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
well,
you know
not
what?
Really. It's about the same, but honestly, bro, like their defense lagged from last year. Like, it was top 10. But it was top 5, ain't it? Top 5.
Yeah, they were top 5.
It was just like, and it just, like, it's 15 or 13 right now. It's
well, you know, the one thing about the Buffalo Bills that I'll say is that the problem is with Rex Ryan tries to get too creative, and he tries to get too cute. Like, instead of just letting his defensive line be a defensive line, he wants to be the guy who drops, like, Mario Williams and Marcel Darius. He wants to drop those guys in coverage all the time to try to confuse the quarterback, but you have to understand, if you're a quarterback and you snap the ball and you see that, you know, not all four of the Bills' defensive linemen is rushing you, that's a good feeling. You don't have to worry about anything. It's like, oh, Mario Williams isn't rushing me? I'm straight. That means they're blitzing. That's one thing. When you see a defensive lineman dropping a coverage, you know that, one, you know they're blitzing. Two, that's one guy who could eat you alive that you ain't got to worry about. So Rex Ryan has been trying to get too cute with his little coverages. And all you got to do to stop that, considering that not all four of the guys are rushing, quick passing offense. That's what the Giants did. That's what the Patriots did. The Bengals just bullied them. The Bengals' offensive line completely shut down their the Bengals didn't allow a sack. And the Bills are supposed to have one of the best defensive lines in football. And the Bengals didn't even allow a sack. So that goes to show that, you know, I don't know, man. The Bills were supposed to be, you know, so I honestly had high expectations for the Bills for maybe the first time in my life, and they've come up short. But it's still early in the season for everybody, man. I think it's too early to count anybody.
You
up.
Think
that's just
you think if the season and like this, what's the name will get fired, Ryan?
Rex. Nah, Rex I think.
Ryan?
Well, here's the thing: if the Bills finish like 8-8. 8-8-ish around that record, I think he'll be all right. But if they have like a really – I don't think they will. I think they will finish around 8-8. But if they do kind of slip a little bit, because EJ's starting for them. So, and granted, they're playing the Jags, so, I mean, that game
no,
was
no,
top
no,
of
no,
me.
No. No, I don't think you get what I'm saying. I'm saying that with the defensive talents that they had, if the defense stay as poor as – poor as it's been playing, and it stays like that for the rest. He only got hired for the defense, bro. That's all he got hired for. So my point is, if the defense stay as bad as it's been playing, it's not even playing
well,
as bad. It's 15. It's something like that. But it's been top 5 before. It got so much talent, and he's supposed to make them better, and he just made them worse. Do you think he stayed with, like, a good 7-9 record or something like that?
Like I was saying before, here's the thing: their record is going to correlate to how well their defense plays because their defense is supposed to be their strength. Now, Tyrod Taylor came out and he's played a lot better than anybody thought he was going to play. But to answer your question directly, if the defense continues to underperform, I don't know if they can him, because if the offense can kind of make up for it, if they can get a decent record, I think he'll stay. I think they'll give him a year to try to fix things. But I think he has a shot. I think the Bills will give him at least 2 years. I don't think they're gonna hire him 1 year and fire him unless the defense just completely just melts down, which they won't. They have enough talent to be pretty solid. They won't be one of the worst units, but for them to be middle of a pack is a crime though, because they have a lot of talent on that team, bro. And last year they were so geeked up, you know. But the difference is that the defense that they ran last year was simpler. Rex Ryan tries to do too much, but the problem is, you know, you don't need to do too much because you have the talent, which is what the Bills did last year. The Bills' defense wasn't all crazy with, you know, crazy blitz packages and all that. The Bills just rushed the passer, and they sat all the dudes back in coverage, and they dared teams to move the ball. And that's what made them a top-five defense. This year, Rex Ryan is trying to confuse quarterbacks, throw, like, two corners on one side with a safety. It's like, dude, just rush your four guys, drop everybody in coverage, and just take it easy. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. We'll see if the Bills' defense gets better as the year goes on. Like, it's still early, man. You know, teams tighten up. The Seahawks last year started 2-3, and this is an extreme example, but they started 2-3, and they finished 9-1 over the course of the season. You know, teams go on streaks, teams get hot. You know, it's not impossible. A team that looks horrible today could look great 4 weeks from now. That's just how the NFL works. But in any case, one of my biggest surprises, which I didn't even get a chance to, and I'm just going to throw it out there, Carolina Panthers, man, did not see a 5-0 start from the Carolina Panthers. I didn't think they had it in them, especially, and when they beat the Seahawks last week, I gave them respect after that, because I know it's not, the Seahawks haven't really looked the same. I don't know what their issues are. I mean, their offensive line sucks, so that's their issues on offense. I don't know what's wrong with their defense. I don't know what's wrong with their defense. I wish I knew. I wish I could tell somebody. I mean, the defense still has largely the same guys on the team. Granted, I think Bobby Wagner didn't play last week. He might have not have played, but even before then, I don't know. The Seahawks haven't looked the same on D. They just don't look like the same dominant team, even though they have a lot of the same guys. So, but the Carolina Panthers, man, I gotta give them props. And I'm still not sold on Cam Newton being an MVP, because the MVP is really the Carolina Panthers defense. The Carolina Panthers defense has been shutting everybody down. So that's really what the strength of their team. But Cam Newton is playing better than he's ever played with less weapons. You know, Cam Newton is more – he's being more of a game manager than trying to be the, you know, the elite franchise quarterback, trying to force throws, trying to throw balls deep. He's just managing the game, you know, putting up a few points. All he has to do is put up 17 to 20 points a game. That's it.
Hold up. This is where you're wrong. I started believing Cam Newton being an MVP candidate. I had started believed, like, they wouldn't go anything. He is the offense, bro. Cam Newton is the offense, man. Everything relies on him. So with that being said, man, I strongly believe he is the reason why they're winning. I mean, they always had a great defense, man. They had a great defense for the last, except 1 year, that 1 year where they was like real bad, like 9-7 or 7-9, and one or whatnot.
When you mean last season?
Fell off.
The defense fell off last year.
Besides that, they always had a good defense, man. I think Cam just finally know how to play the position, finally learned that he doesn't need to do everything. He just takes what the defense give him. And, you know, it was shocking that they won.
Cam is not MVP. So you'll take Cam over Tom Brady? You'll take Cam over Tom Brady? You'll take Cam over Tom Brady as MVP?
Yeah. Yeah.
No way. No, dude, no way. Like, how would you?
Come on, hold on.
How, dog?
The man is the offense, bro.
So is Tom Brady. And the Patriots don't even have a good defense.
He has a top five defense, dog. Wait, here's the thing, bro. Here's how I see it. I always been the person that enjoyed to watch people do things with less. You mean Tom Brady? At least he got Gronk, bro. At least he got Edelman. At least he got.
And okay, Cam Newton has Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen's one of the best tight ends in football.
Hold on. Cam Newton made him one of the best tight ends in football.
Gerson, stop.
Come
Gerson,
on, man.
Stop. Come on, dog. Greg Olsen was balling with the Bears, dude. When he was with the Bears, he was balling. What you mean Cam Newton made him, dog?
He was balling? No, he was decent. He was decent. He wasn't balling. He was decent, man. Come on, dude.
Cam Newton did not make Greg Olsen, okay?
I'll never agree with that. How long he been the top three tight end? Tell me, how long?
I mean,
Greg Olsen made a top three tight end.
He's been a top five tight end at least for the past several years. Name four, outside of Gronk and Jimmy Graham, name two other tight ends that are better than him.
Bennett
is not better than him. Name somebody else. Who's better than him? Name somebody else better than Greg Olsen.
Outside of Gronk and
Jimmy Graham.
That guy in Kansas City, what's his name?
Travis Kelce? Travis Kelce?
Like
really?
Yeah. But Alex Smith, who's his only target? His tight ends, right?
Alex Smith is plays quarterback scared. The man has Jeremy Maclin, who is a bona fide number one receiver, and he's afraid to throw the ball. I don't care. Alex Smith literally spent over one season.
This argument is not about Alex Smith. I'm telling you that Alex Smith only throws to his tight ends, and that's
because he's afraid to throw down the field.
But
that's why he only throws
point,
to the tight end.
Hey, but that's not my point. I'm telling
so
you.
So what's your point, dude? What's your point? Because Travis
Bennett,
Kelce
Bennett,
is not better than you, Greg Olsen.
I'm saying Olsen is not top five, bro. He's top five this year. I'll give him this year. But the last couple years, he wasn't nothing, dog.
The only reason why people have been sleeping on Greg Olsen is because Cam Newton wasn't as good as he was this year. Greg Olsen has always bailed him out, bro. He's always been his best target in Carolina. I don't understand what you mean Cam Newton made him. That does not make sense.
Even when he had Steve Smith?
Yes. He was the second guy after Steve Smith. Obviously, Steve Smith was the number one. Duh. But after Steve Smith, it was Greg Olsen. Yeah. When Steve Smith left, it's been Greg Olsen. Kelvin Benjamin is the number one receiver.
Greg Olsen is his favorite target.
He's always been. He didn't make Greg Olsen. That's my point. If you want to say Greg Olsen wasn't a top tight end, cool. But Greg Olsen has always been a reliable, really good player. He did not make him.
I never said he wasn't reliable.
You said Cam Newton made him.
I just thought about Jason White. You telling me Greg Olsen better than Jason White?
Jason White? Who's Jason White?
I'm waiting.
Wynn has been a top tight end for years. So that's one guy. Who else? We said top five. That's three. Who else? Give me a fourth dude.
I'm forgetting.
You ain't forgetting nobody because there's not that many guys. Tyler Eifert from Cincinnati. Tyler Eifert's better than him this year. Tyler Eifert came out. I'll take Tyler Eifert over him. Who else? Ain't nobody else. It's those four guys. Gronk, you can say Jimmy Graham, you can say Witten, you can say Tyler Eifert is better than him. You can't say anybody else is better than Greg
Olsen. What's his name, buddy, the Thompson guy from that used to be on the Broncos that went to the Jaguars? What's his name?
Man, Julius Thomas? That's somebody who somebody made, nigga. Peyton Manning made Julius Thomas, dude.
Listen, hold up. He made him, but he was still balling. Come on,
bro. Peyton does that for a lot of dudes, bro.
I'm just saying, bro. Greg Olsen is not wrong.
Man,
that's all I'm saying. He's not top five, bro.
You know what, Chris? We're gonna agree to disagree on that because I can't deal.
All right, whatever you say, bro.
But listen, we spent a good amount of time talking
about. What about the guy 49? What's his name?
Oh, Vernon Davis.
Everybody's name. Yes, I'm forgetting everybody's name. But nonetheless, bro, there's plenty of tight ends over Greg Olsen, bro.
Vernon Davis hasn't been a good player in like 2-3 years, bro. What has he done? When's the last time you even heard his name, bro?
Look at his quarterback, dog. You were balling before, but look at his quarterback now.
Collins, Kaepernick fell off a hill, bro. He fell off a cliff, man.
Kaepernick fell off. Kaepernick fell off a skyscraper, bro. Like that man fell. He fell off harder.
That's my point, man. They have not been throwing the ball since Alex Smith left. And Alex Smith didn't even throw the ball like that, bro. So at the end of the day, come on, dog. I'm just saying, man. You right. You're right. But you're not that right, man. Come on.
All right, Gerson, man. Listen. We've already used a good amount of time on the show, so we talked about our biggest surprises and the disappointments that we at least believed in. So I do want to shed some light on this game tonight since we were talking about the 49ers and the Seahawks. What do you expect to see tonight in the game, or what do you expect is going to happen?
You know what's so funny about this, bro? I could actually see the 49ers beating the Seahawks, bro.
I don't know how, bro.
I just understand that they just learned to lose this year, dog. Because the last four losses, they came in the fourth quarter. You know, they had four leads and they lost, bro. They lost the lead. Like, they're just losing at the most incorrect times, the Seahawks. So, I wouldn't be shocked if they lost tonight, bro. But then again, I wouldn't be shocked if they won. Well, I'm just saying, it's just the Seahawks are just like they out, bro.
So what's your bona fide prediction then? Who do you think is gonna take it? If you were a betting man, who would you bet?
If I were a bad man and I wanted to win big, I put it on the 49ers.
Damn. That's a big indictment. I mean, you know, Gert,
for the
upset. Okay, well, I mean, you know, Gerson, we haven't been right about whenever we get matchups like these where it's just like, yo, there's no way. I mean, this isn't really one of those matchups, though, because this ain't the same Seahawks. So, and it's a division game, and the Seahawks have. Well, they only played the Rams, I think. Yeah, I think the Rams are the only division rival that I think they played so far. But they didn't look good against the Rams. I don't know if the 49ers have enough on their defensive line because they lost Alden Smith. I'm not sure Ahmad Brooks is still playing, and Navarro Bowman has not really been himself. So their defense definitely hasn't been the same. So I don't know if the 49ers are going to have the defense to slow down the Seahawks. But that Seahawks O-line is so bad, I don't think it's going to matter. It's really a toss-up. I'm going to say the Seahawks win just because if they go 2-5, I just can't see them making the playoffs. Like, there's a certain number you can be to where it's just like, dude, you're just – it's not impossible, I guess, for them to climb out of a 2-5 hole, but they haven't even played Arizona once, and they got to play them twice. And they still got other teams they got to play. You know, the NFC West has a pretty tough schedule. So I'm going to go off and say the Seahawks win just because this is a must-win game for them. The 49ers could win this game. The 49ers have nothing to lose, in my opinion, because nobody expects them to make the playoffs. I don't even think they do. But if they win this game, they ruin the Seahawks season. This is the 49ers' chance to ruin the Seahawks season, and this is the Seahawks' chance to save their season. I think Seattle – I'm going to put my money on Russell Wilson in Seattle before I do on Kaepernick and the Niners. Now, whether that works out that way – we'll see, but that's what I think. But we'll see in about 2 hours how that game's gonna go. But in any case, I would like to thank Gerson for joining me on the show. I'd like to thank everybody who took the time to listen. Finata Water should be back on Sunday, roughly around 11-12 o'clock. Hopefully, we can get it going this time. I had a little trouble last week when I got off work. But hopefully we can continue. We can talk about the games on Sunday. And, Gerson, hopefully I'll see you back on Sunday morning and the listeners as well.
All right, bro.
All right, my man. Thank you very much. And thank everybody else for listening.
Yeah.